Here we are, we're doing our little experiment in conversational exposition of the scriptures. We're walking our way through the law of Moses as it related to judges. And that brings us to Exodus chapters 21, 22, and 23. Right now we're in Exodus chapter 21, starting at verse 7, all the way through verse 11, the rights of female servants. David Wally, why don't you read us the text?
Says this, "And if a man sells his daughter to be a female slave, she shall not go out as the male slaves do. If she does not please her master, who has betrothed her to himself, then she shall let her be redeemed. He shall have no right to sell her to a foreign people, since he has dealt deceitfully with her. And if he has betrothed her to his son, he shall deal with her according to the custom of daughters. If he takes another wife, he shall not diminish her food, her clothing, and her marriage rights. And if he does not do these three for her, then she shall go free without paying money."
All right, now look, isn't this a great passage? I'll tell you what's great about it. Because this is the kind of passage, somebody to read these verses and not have a clue what's going on.
Right.
I mean, wouldn't it be kind of a depressing thing if your lifetime Bible verses were taken from one of these passages right here, and you just read and say, but, you see, that's the great thing about this. When you dig into what's going on here, you see that actually this is thrilling about what it shows about God's heart for humanity and specifically for his people. So right here, verse 7, it says, "If a man sells his daughter to be a female slave." Now, what's going on here in the whole context of these verses? Is this just like a regular woman going into slavery, just like a man might go into slavery? Or is something else happening in these particular verses?
It appears something a little bit different is happening in these verses. It seems as if this is a volunteer type of thing. The father has a debt, maybe, or looking for an early dowry.
Some financial need.
He has a daughter, going to be married at some point, and sells her to become, to be wed.
Okay, sells her to be wed. But are you talking about what we might call a dowry?
Something like that. It appears in the ancient culture, right, a groom would have to pay a bride price.
Correct. Now, I want to tell you something. It's not just ancient culture. You know that there's still cultures today that practice the dowry. I was in South Africa talking to some believers, and there in Cape Town, South Africa has a lot of immigrants from other African countries. And there in, I can't remember if this guy was from, you know, Zambia or Namibia or something like that. But I was just talking about what's going on in his life, and he goes, "Well, it's been kind of stressful the last few months. I'm trying to get together the dowry for my wife." And I go, "What? What are you talking about?" And I said, what do you pay? And I go, "You know, you give him chickens or goats or something?" And he said, "Well, no. Basically, what the dowry is in their culture is the bride's whole family comes up with a wish list. Like, it's Christmas. This is what I want for Christmas. And you have to buy him all these gifts. One guy might want a goat, you know, for his flock. Another guy might want a smartphone. And so, but before he could marry that girl from that family, he had to give a gift, a dowry, to everybody in the family.
How long is he working on this?
It's done now, okay. But it took him several months because it was a large financial commitment, and that's how it was in the ancient world as well.
Well, it's almost like buying an engagement ring too.
Like that, yeah. Except you couldn't buy it on time installment.
Well, that took me months.
That's right. You got to pay it up front, and somewhat like an engagement ring, the dowry served several functions. First of all, it sort of compensated the bride's family for the loss of a productive member of the household. That was one aspect of it. The other aspect of the dowry, and this might be the more important one, was that it demonstrated the fitness of the man to provide for the woman. He had to earn and save and come up with the bride price. So what you have going on here is a family that sells their daughter into marriage before she's of marriageable age.
What age around would you say?
All right, I'm just guessing because the text doesn't say. I'm guessing maybe 10, 11, 12 years of age.
Really?
Yeah, so maybe 3, 4, 5 years because they got married young, but not that young.
Right, of course.
Gotcha.
So I'm thinking 3, 4, 5, 6 years before she's of marriageable age. Mm-hmm. Now, the logical question is, why would they do this? Well, I tell you, I think there's two reasons why they would do it. Number one, it was an advantage for the bride's family if they needed some money now. Mm-hmm. You know, what good does it do to get my daughter's dowry in 5 years? I need the money now. If there was some financial need or debt, it could be satisfied that way. But then there's this other aspect that I think is very important too. A groom's family could buy a bride for their son cheaper. if they did it when the girl was younger, because she would live in their home and they would provide for her before they were married. And so there was some advantage on either side for the two. I understand that this was practiced in other cultures as well.
So this was not necessarily a bad thing. It was almost, it was like an appropriate type of situation.
Yes, but here, the whole reason for this law is there was the potential for abuse. Okay, and let's just say, here's a potential for abuse in this particular law. This girl, 11 years old, comes into the family, and then they found out that she doesn't get along with this son in the family that she's supposed to marry. And it's just not going to work. Well, that groom's family would have a lot of incentive to treat that girl badly, to treat her just like a slave. God says, no, you got to take care of her. Matter of fact, what are the specific words there? Well, first of all, verse 8, it says, he shall let her be redeemed. Yeah. In other words, the family could buy her back, or another family could buy her into the family. She wasn't to be held in some kind of slavery. Verse 8, did you see that one? No right to sell her to a foreign people. Right. You couldn't treat her like that. And then even there in verse 10, do you see that in verse 10, Nate, where it says, he shall not diminish her food, her clothing, and her marriage rights.
Right.
In other words, she was to be treated, even verse 9 says, to treat her according to the customs of daughters.
Wow.
You got to bring her in the family and treat her like a daughter. So I think this is a pretty big deal, how these verses say that this girl who was in a potentially vulnerable position. Look, we can imagine many times in ancient eras it worked out great. You know, it just worked out wonderful on both sides. But there's no doubt that the girl was put into a potentially vulnerable situation, and God cares about protecting her rights.
Not only protects, but commands it. I mean, that word there, that word for food, isn't just the bare minimum of meat or the beans and corn, but he's talking about the meat. You know, that commentator, what's his name?
Cole.
Says the word food should perhaps be rendered meat. It means, say the commentators, the wife's share, fair share of luxuries, not mere subsistence allowance, which any slave would get. So it raises her above the minimum of taking care, but actually pouring forth abundance to her, the luxuries of life, not only just kind of, you know, casting her away or providing for her minimal needs, but providing for her substantially.
Isn't that remarkable?
Yeah, pretty cool.
Potential or hypothetical situation. An 11-year-old girl, and God cares passionately that she's taken care of, making specific commands so that she's not mistreated or abused, or just like you said, treated on a substitution, treated like a slave in the family. He said, no, you have to treat her like a daughter.
So interesting to think, you know, we talked about how this is Israel, it's the birth of a nation.
Yes.
And that's what all these kind of laws and regulations are, that this is a nation beginning to become into its own. And I think what kind of law like this would separate them from everyone around them? That they'd have a law that would take such concern over a little 10-year-old, 11-year-old girl to really elevate her status, to protect and care for her. I bet it was just, I mean, we don't really know that, but it was unheard of at the Canaanites, the Perizzites, all those guys, you know, were they doing stuff like that?
Well, don't we love to come back to that principle that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? He still cares about the weak, the disadvantaged, those who don't normally have the power or the rights to protect themselves. And it just kind of saddens me to think, you know, there's people that we know and love, maybe young people in a family where they're disadvantaged, they're maltreated, they're deprived of things that they should have. And we should just say, look, the Lord cares. Yeah. The Lord's heart goes out to you. Look to Him and trust that God will make the difference. And we would say to parents who are doing such things, God commands you by principle here to do otherwise. But the Lord really is the protector of His people, even the disadvantaged.
Yeah. Just think of the picture between a bridegroom and a bride, is that Jesus and His church, and how He provides for and how He cares for. And He would never, you know, treat His church deceitfully, unequal, unloving, but He's always faithful. He's always loving. He's always there to care for. You know, it's almost like you can kind of cut off the last bit of this, where there's no kind of, if the contract is breached, I mean,
there's no chance of that when Jesus makes that covenant with His people.
That's right. To His people.
Oh, great.
Excellent. Okay, good. Well, let's pause here, and we'll head on to our next one in a few minutes.
Awesome.